My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's time now to go beyond the headlines. And for the next 2 hours, go where every sports fan wants to go. Behind the scenes and into the practice facilities, locker rooms, coaches' offices, and press boxes to get the info before anyone else. This is the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Oh, good morning, everybody. Hello. Happy Monday. Everything on? Here we go. All right. We're muted. Mics are up. Mics are on. Good morning, James. Happy Monday.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing great, and I'm doing great in large part to our watch party Saturday out at Players Pub and Grill in Fair Oaks. So many of you came and came to hang out with us while UConn beat the absolute brakes off of the University of Illinois. Holy smokes! 30-0 run, dude.
Yikes. I didn't even really watch much of the game.
Yeah, I was talking to the homies.
Yeah, it was more like socializing.
Yeah, yeah. So thank you to everybody who was able to make it out. I know there are a bunch of you who wanted to and couldn't. We forgive you this time. Just this time though. And I couldn't have been happier with how things went. It was a great time. Everybody at Players was awesome. There were like 15 to 20 of us hanging out max at a time.
Yeah.
And I don't think I ever once was like, hey, can we get some water over here or something? They were just on top of it, hanging out. And yeah. Shout out to Players. We had a really wonderful time, and thanks to everybody who came out.
Yeah, big shout out to Joe from Promotions that sat outside and,
oh man,
in the heat and the sun.
Love Joe.
He did good work.
Just as the sun just beating down on his head.
It was just like beating.
We went
right
to go take a photo
face.
And we were like, hey, this sun's this tough. He's like, yeah, I know.
It's really bright out here.
shout out to Joe. He does a really great job out there in Promotions. And thank you to Promotions for getting everything squared away for us and to make our lives easier when we pulled up. And thank you to you guys for making our lives easier, getting out there and chopping it up. So yeah. Shout out to the Chatty House. Shout out to everybody who came out. We thank you guys very much. Something I want to get out of the way off the top.
Yeah.
It is April 1st.
Yep.
That is April Fool's Day.
Yep.
I am just saying it right now, and I'll say it again a couple times throughout the show. We're not doing jokes. Well, we're going to do jokes, but we're not going to do April Fool's pranks.
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
Nothing we say today is going to be at the end of the show, be like, oh, we were just kidding. Like, there's not going to be any of that.
No.
So if some crazy news breaks or if something wild happens, just know that it's actually happening. Yeah. There's like a policy. Like, we can't, like, I'm not going to get on the air. I feel a responsibility to get on the air and say things that are either my opinion or that I think are the truth. We're not pulling the rug out today.
Yeah, and we'll just make sure that we try to vet everything that we do.
Yes.
If there is something weird,
yes,
it would be better that we try to vet it before.
Yes.
So we won't break news. It's not news. It's fake news. It's
it's a great point.
That's we're like, oh my gosh.
Like what?
Just what just happened?
Brandon Ayuk got traded to the Patriots.
No.
No, we're not gonna do any of that. In fact, I borrowed this line from the Dean on Community. I don't know if anybody's familiar with the show Community, but he was in the midst of ruling out April Fools. No more April Fools at Greendale, and here's what he said.
Is officially March 32nd forever.
So a happy March 32nd to you, James, and to you, Chatty House, and to you, listener. We appreciate you very much.
That's a great show.
Really good.
Yeah.
Really, really good.
Yeah, the boys got into that. And
I love it so much.
Like binge watch. It was on for maybe like a month straight at the house where they just kept watching them.
That's exactly how I got into it.
Yeah.
It was on demand when I had Comcast cable. I just blew through the three seasons that were on there or whatever. I love that show so much. Speaking of the watch party, we watched UConn punch their ticket to the Final Four. That looked like it was going to be a good game. I think it was a 5-point game at the half.
Mm.
And then by the next time I looked up, it was a 30-point game.
I was in the middle of a chili burger. I didn't even notice it happened. I'm like, oh, look at that. The game's over.
Yeah.
Well, that's not a good score.
Insane.
This chili burger is really good, but that score's not.
So UConn will face Alabama. The chili burger was better than the game for sure. Man, yeah. I had the fried green beans. They were like onion crusted fried green beans.
Wow. Oh,
delightful, dude. Really, really good. Not as good. I don't know if it was as good as that chili burger you had. I legitimately, at Players, we'll talk about the bracket here in a second. So we get there, and of course, they did a great job getting a setup. What do you want to drink? What do you want to eat? And they came over with your chili burger. And I legitimately thought you ordered two chili burgers.
It was the largest thing ever.
It was
an open-faced chili burger.
Yeah, I thought it, but it was huge.
There was like at least a pound of fries.
It was so much food.
It was so much food.
Like, dang, James, you got two. And then Charlie, I think, got the cheesesteak. Looked amazing.
Oh, yeah, he did.
Yeah, man. Anyways.
It was surprisingly good. Like, I was like, oh, this is good.
Yeah, it wasn't just trashy bar food. It was like actually good.
Yeah, it was good food.
Yeah, yeah. So love Players, and we will be going back for sure. UConn will host, will face Alabama, and then Purdue, who knocked off, who did they beat yesterday?
Oh,
I watched that entire game.
I don't know. It wasn't even close, though, right?
No, it was. It was close. It was. Someone help me out. It was Tennessee. They beat Tennessee.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's right. And then NC State came back to beat Duke. Shout out to DJ Burns, dude. This is my favorite part of the tournament, is those players who kind of catch fire in the tournament and maybe follow college basketball closely. You know who they are. But if you're somebody like me who just vaguely follows along during the year and then gets tapped in during the tournament, feels like somebody like this always breaks out. You have your Jimmer Fredettes, you have your Steph Currys, of course, but then there's this guy, DJ Burns, on NC State, who is just an absolute hoss. Just old school footwork, little middies, just getting to his spots in the paint. I love watching DJ Burns play basketball.
Yeah, I think the tournament, it shines a light on just obscure players that you would never know if it wasn't for the tournament. And that's what the good thing is about it. You know, it's so representative. You get to see so much. Everyone is tuned in. Everyone wants to see what's happening.
Yeah. Yeah, man. It turns out he is a multi-instrument musician.
Oh.
He plays the stand-up bass, the tuba, the piano, and the saxophone, I believe.
The tuba, the piano, and the saxophone. Okay, so.
He's a fascinating person.
Yeah, that's.
He's also dominating Duke.
I'm confused because, like, not all of those, like, mix.
Yeah, it's a couple of brass instruments. It's got a couple of percussion instruments in there.
Yeah.
Not percussion, string instrument.
So growing up, I played the trumpet and the baritone.
Okay.
In a marching band.
So can you give me some detail? Is the saxophone is a brass instrument?
Well, yeah, it's in the clarinet family. So if, like, the progression, if you want to play the saxophone, you have to start with the clarinet for like 1 or 2 years.
Okay.
And then they upgrade you if you want. And then there's still a clarinet section.
Okay.
But then there's also the saxophone section. So usually the dudes are like, oh yeah, I'm not going to have the sax. I'm going straight to the saxophone.
Mm-hmm.
And then trumpet is like like a baritone or a tuba, trombone. They're all in the same family.
In the horn section.
The horn section of the brass section. Yes.
Got it.
So I wouldn't put the saxophone in the brass section.
Is it a windwood? Is that what it's called?
They're a wreathed instrument.
Okay, got it.
Because they have a wooden wreath.
Sure.
Yeah, so, okay.
And then the stand-up bass is in the string section.
Yeah, that would be in the string section, which most people don't have a stand-up bass, like most like middle schools or whatever. They don't have that.
Yeah,
it's usually basics. Like you have your drum section, you have your trumpets, your baritones, well, your saxophones, your... Mm-hmm. clarinets, and then your flute players.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, we were actually really good. I played in middle school from like fourth grade to eighth grade, and we actually won the Macy's Christmas Parade in Sacramento. We won the sweeps. We won everything, like the presidential awards, which means we beat all the college bands.
Wow.
Yeah.
Nice.
Like the giant hat and the
course.
I like
feathers
out
the top.
All of it. Yeah.
Yeah. Love that. Love that for
the
you.
The full button up. Yeah.
Yeah. Not sure if DJ Burns has ever done that, but he did. He did play really well against Duke and punched NC State's ticket. They will now face Zach Edey and Purdue. God, he is talk about a hoss.
That's
Zach
why
Edey is really good, man.
That's why I took them.
It's like Victor Wembanyama in the NBA. Only in the NBA, there is enough size and athleticism to really you can kind of bother him.
Mm-hmm.
With Zach Edey in college, I just don't know what you do with that. A skilled dude who's 7'4", can move.
Yeah.
Man.
No, I totally agree.
He's a beast, dude.
I think UConn has a tall dude who's going to try to compete with him.
Sure.
But,
I'll believe it when I see it. Yeah. I feel like UConn-Purdue feels like the move for sure. On the women's side, tonight is going to be one of the greatest nights of college basketball of all time.
Okay.
It's the LSU-Iowa rematch.
Mm.
So you get Angel Reese and Flauje Johnson versus Caitlin Clark. And then on the other side of the bracket, it's UConn-USC. So you get Paige Beckers against Juju Watson.
Oh.
And man, that is a lot of talent in those two games. I really can't wait to lock into those. I'm planning my day around it.
Okay.
I'm going to be in front of my TV at 4:00.
All right.
I'm just ready to go.
Ready to roll.
Dialed in.
All right.
And they will, those two teams will punch their tickets. The winners of those two games will punch their tickets to the Final Four, on the women's side. So, we had some news this weekend in baseball. We'll get to the Kings, of course. They had a tough loss to the Mavs on Friday. They bounced back with a win over the Jazz last night. But we had some news on the A's and potentially coming to Sacramento or staying in Oakland or whatever they're doing in the time between now and when they go to Las Vegas. There is a deal from Oakland that was reported by Casey Pratt from ABC7.
Mm-hmm.
Where Oakland would give the A's a 5-year lease on the Coliseum with an opt-out option after year 3.
Mm-hmm.
It would cost $19.4 million a year for the A's. And the A's would sell their Coliseum stake back to the city. And it would be contingent on the A's granting Oakland one exclusive year to line up owners for expansion, or Oakland gets to keep the A's name and colors, or John Fisher facilitates a sale to a new group.
Okay.
Which I don't think is going to happen.
No, I don't think. I think you can probably get one of those things, and it's probably going to be Oakland keeps its name and colors.
I think so, too.
Yeah. Outside of that, I don't think you're going to get anything else there. I don't think you're going to get a one, because that's MLB. They're going to have to grant the one-year exclusive which I don't see happening.
I would doubt it very seriously. But also, the A's would get to keep their TV rights. They'd get to keep whatever fan base they have that's going to still go to games.
$280 million.
A lot of money.
Yeah. So it's a lot of money.
Yeah. All right. Let's talk Kings. We'll talk about the Mavs loss, of course, the Malik Monk injury, the Kevin Huerter injury update. We will have all that. And we'll have James' 6 quick thoughts on the Kings win last night over the Jazz. Ton to get into in Kingsland, and we're going to start it next on ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Leader.
No. Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen. Brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
All right. Yeah, Stitch is my favorite Disney character.
Okay.
And shout out to Russell Hunt, who has a daughter whose favorite character is also Stitch.
All right.
And now she's a big Kyle Madsen fan. We have a new listener.
There it is.
Count it.
That's a good way to find new listeners.
Disneyland?
One at a time.
Just pull out. Next time I go to Disneyland, I'm exclusively wearing Insiders hoodies.
Just like obscure things. See, now you're an Insider fan.
Yeah. Oh wow. You're letting me go in front of you in line. Hey, welcome to the show. This is great. See you in the chat, y'all. All right. Tough loss for the Kings on Friday night.
Yep.
I was in the building. Sorry. But they bounced back last night. So let's get some 6 quick thoughts on last night's game before we kind of crack this egg open and really dive into where the Kings stand after Friday's loss to the Mavs and with the latest injury updates on Malik Monk and Kevin Huerter. But before we do that, some good news with a 127-106 win for the Kings over the Jazz.
How'd yesterday's Kings game go? Kings insider James Hamm has 6 notes you need to know. Here are James Hamm's 6 quick thoughts.
And James Hamm's 6 quick thoughts could be sponsored by you. That's right. If you want to sponsor the show, let us know. Sponsor the segment, let us know. We do it after each and every Kings game that happens the day after we have a show.
That's
the day
right.
Before we have a show. All right, James, thought number 1.
It's time. With Malik Monk lost for a month or more, Keegan Murray has to be a star. He's got to score. It's just, at this point, it is what it is. He's got to score. He's got to be aggressive. He had 10 points in the first quarter, finished with 25 points on 10 of 17 shooting, 3 rebounds, which I would have liked more. But overall, I think he really, really, he understands the assignment at this point.
I hope so.
Yeah.
Look, we've seen it before with Keegan. This is great. You're right. 25 on 10 of 17, a couple of rebounds. He was aggressive pretty consistently for most of the night. That's great. But we've seen him do it before. That's great. You cooked whatever version of the Jazz that was.
Yeah.
That's a start for sure. But next game in New York, I need the same thing. And then in Boston the next night, I need the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
This needs to be a consistent trend. It's needed to be a consistent trend. And now with no Malik Monk minutes to contend with, there's no excuse anymore. There's no more, oh, well, they're getting scoring from here and here. Like, dude, Keegan's next. You're up.
Yeah, it's like you and Harrison. That's it. Like, there's no one else.
Those are the options.
Like, those are the options. And you have to have both of them play well each and every night from here on out.
And you'll get contributions from Davion Mitchell, and you'll get some from Keon Ellis and Trey Lyles.
Or sure, Sasha.
Whatever. Yeah. Those little contributions are going to be there, and maybe one of them goes for 21 night because they got hot. But night in and night out, it needs to be those two guys, specifically Keegan.
Yep.
You're absolutely right. Number 2.
Battle on the blocks. Sabonis extended his double-double streak to 57 games. Like he was good. 17 points, 11 rebounds, 6 assists. I know a lot of fans were like hanging on the edge, like worried he wasn't going to get to extend his double-double streak. Walker Kessler's tough, man. He's such a good shot blocker.
Mm-hmm.
But Sabonis handled him.
Yeah, he did a nice job. And I think with guys like that, being able to just get into... So I hate the chatty house. I don't have a... Being able to... Being able to get into their body,
yeah,
and eliminate their ability to block your shot,
yeah,
and get physical with those type of players.
Yep,
that's how you negate them. And yeah, was it Sabonis' best game? No, but he figured out a way to be effective. Watching the end of that game was obviously boring once the Kings pulled away in the third quarter.
Mm-hmm.
Watching Kings Twitter watch the game with Sabonis at 9 rebounds with 5.5-ish minutes left.
Panic.
Was way more entertaining than the game itself. And then when he finally got his rebound, it was right about the time where you're going, man, they might start pulling starters. Like, this is tough. And people who are at the game are just ahead of people who are not at the game, who are watching on TV. And so when he got his rebound, I had this mix of people going, I don't think he's going to get it. Like, oh my God, the streak is going to be over. Interceded with, James and Fox 40, Sean Cunningham, like Sabonis gets his rebound and he's got his double-double
57
streak extended while I'm also seeing people freak out because they haven't seen it happen on TV yet. It was great.
It's wild.
It's a funny moment.
70th double-double on the season.
Pretty good.
Yeah, he's solid.
Not bad. Number three.
De'Aaron Fox became like the assist man in this one. He was really good. 24 points, 6 rebounds, 12 assists, 3 steals, and 2 blocks. His concentration on the defensive end, what he's doing on the defensive end mm-hmm. is wild.
He's really good.
He is very, very good. He's going to clearly be over 2 steals per game by the mm-hmm. end of the season. And in this one, he was just like, hey, let's get the spray 3 to the hot guy.
Yeah.
And that's what he did.
Yeah, you can go 24 and 12, I mean, that's what we've talked about. Some nights he's going to go for 40, mm-hmm. but some nights he's going to have 24, which is a very, very good night. But when he's distributing like that, I think the Kings finished with 34 assists. When they're moving the ball like that offensively, they are really, really tough to beat.
Mm-hmm.
That starts with De'Aaron.
Yep, I agree.
Number four.
Jack of all trades. Kian Ellis continues to impress as a starter.
Hmm.
Like, look, they don't need him to be Kevin Herter as a scorer. Mm-hmm. But what they do need is for him to be efficient. He only scored 5 points, but 8 rebounds, 3 assists, and a steal in this one. He might have had more than one steal. But to me, like, Kian Ellis has given you everything you can possibly ask for. And, you know, you're not always going to have, like, a big scoring night from him.
Mm-hmm.
But I just think, like, they needed this guy, this type of player in their lineup.
The thing that impresses me most about Kian offensively is the lack of hesitation.
Mm-hmm.
He pulled up in transition from 3 against the Mavs in the first half. Like, he knocked down a couple. Was like, all right, hey, out on the break, going to stop and pop for 3. I will take that. I love to see the confidence. And he knocks it down with enough consistency that, to me, teams have to account for him.
Yeah.
You can't leave Kian Ellis alone in the corner or he's going to kill you. And that's a big deal for a player like him. Number 5.
Number 5, Black Falcon, Harrison Barnes. He was having a pedestrian game, and then in the third quarter, he just, like, went plaid.
Yeah.
16 points, and Mike pulled him with, like, 7 minutes left and went to just to give him a break. Mm-hmm. With, like, 5 minutes left, so 7 minutes in.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, 24 points on the night. Again, this is what he has to do from here on out.
Yep.
And I know he feels as bad as anyone else for what happened on Friday night with the missed shot and the turnover
mm-hmm.
in the final seconds. But I think you're going to see a motivated Harrison Barnes from here on out.
Yeah, he's going to get plenty of mismatches, and he just needs to exploit them.
Yeah.
If a team is going to guard him with a Keontae George, like, God love Keontae George having a really fine rookie season, but Harrison Barnes can stuff him in the rim anytime he wants.
Yep.
So I would, it's more about just being aggressive when those opportunities present themselves. And you see it. I think the Kings are, I think they've only, have they lost this year when he's had 20 in a game?
Oh, that's a good question.
I don't know that they have. When he scores, it's maximum Kings offense.
Yeah.
Number 6.
Number 6, welcome back. Sasha Vezenkov and Trey Lyles both return to the court.
Woo.
Lyles jumped right back in. Is that right? I think he posted more than, I think he had 11 points, and 5 rebounds. This was an early, I thought he played well. He had energy. He was running the floor. He missed some open shots, but at the same time, I thought, hey, like, this is, you forget why Trey Lyles matters
mm-hmm.
until he's on the court and you're like, oh man, he's good.
Yeah.
And then Vezenkov, he came in and played a little bit early. Like 30 seconds or 5 seconds early, and people got all upset. He finished with 5 points and 2 rebounds and a steal. And yeah. Again, he showed you some of the things that makes him so unique.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I liked it.
Yeah. Yeah, Trey Lyles, just to update that, 11 points, 4 boards, 3 assists, and a block. That's a heck of a night for Trey Lyles in his first game back. And yeah, valuable player for them.
Yeah.
For sure. So any depth they can get at this point is depth that they will take.
Mm-hmm.
Largely because Kevin Herter is having surgery on his left shoulder and he will be out for the season. Malik Monk is likely out, but
he's out 4 to 6 weeks.
Yeah, you need a deep playoff run to get Malik Monk back. So
yeah,
we will talk about that next. What are the implications of those injuries? What does it mean? Who needs to step up? We're going to dive into the Kings injury situation as they head toward the playoffs, play-in, wherever they're headed. They're going to need guys to step up, and we'll talk about who it is next on ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Leader.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen. Brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
That was fun. Participating in a straw poll.
There it is.
I've never done that before.
That's right.
That's James. I'm Kyle. Talking Kings injury stuff. After their loss to the Mavs on Friday, bounced back with a win over the Jazz last night. Do you feel good about where you landed with your MVP picks?
Yeah, I feel good. Yeah. I mean, I would love to have slide Sabonis into the top five, but yeah. It just the Kings record, you can't do it.
Yeah.
Like I think he is a top five player.
Yeah.
But it's tough, man. There's guys on winning teams at the top.
Yeah, there's like a criteria that comes in.
Well, I mean, everyone has their own criteria, right? Mm-hmm. And I always have Tatum in the top five because I don't think he's deserving of the MVP, but he's the best player on the best team and by a long shot. Like, that's mm-hmm. the best team by a lot. Like, are they up 10 games in the East?
I think it's 11.
Yeah, that looks like 11. Yeah, that's wild.
Just an insane. Yeah, they're 11 games up. They are 58-16. They are 6 games up on Oklahoma City, who's first in the West.
That's wild.
I mean, it's nuts. 916-909-1320. That's 916-909-1320. That's the Farmer's Dog talk line. Farmer's Dog, a healthy life starts with healthy food. If you want to chime in on what's going on with your Sacramento Kings, please do. I have the phones unlocked and up now. And, oh, look at that. Ramsey is in here. Ramsey, what's going on, man?
I've got a story for you. No. Get the dump button ready.
No, no, no. If, don't say a bad word.
The two of you may.
Oh, okay. Got it.
Saturday, as you know, the two of you know, many people know, I work in San Jose, so I was at the Bay FC home open inaugural game.
Of course.
Let's just say roughly about the, and we're in about the 70th to 75th minute.
Mm-hmm.
At my post, I have someone walk by me. I look up. I recognize the face. It's John Fisher. And he has the audacity to tell me hello.
Did you jump him? You're supposed to jump him.
I wish I could have. I just happen to be at work.
Oh, you're supposed to treat him like Kyle treats John Bull every time he sees him.
Just kick right in the shin, just on accident. Nothing. Don't want to hurt him too bad. Just ruin his day a little.
That's right.
It was just more to me. He had the audacity to show up in public. I get it was the first Bay FC game.
Yeah,
but he must not realize how much he's really not liked in the entire Northern California atmosphere.
Yeah, there's no chance he has that level of self-awareness.
Wow.
No.
It's tough.
All right. Dang. All right. All right. Well, thanks, Ramsey, and thanks for not getting in trouble at work on A's fans' behalf. That's appreciated. I would have felt bad if Ramsey's like, yeah, lost my job. Hey, Rob, what's going on?
Hello?
Yeah, can you turn your radio down for me?
Oh, yeah, I'm doing that right now. That's
perfect. You're on the air. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
My name's Rob. How are you doing, guys?
Doing great, buddy. What you got for us?
So I'm listening to you guys talk about Monk here, and I'm running down thoughts. You know, so can I ask maybe the big question before I, or the first, can I ask the small question before I ask the big question?
That's the preferred order, yes.
Yeah, of course. So I think, James, you said we're looking at signing Maxey at Philly to a max contract. So we're thinking like 35, 40 million a year?
He's going to be, he'll get a 5-year 70, a 170 or a 5-year 165, whatever the max money is for his years of service.
So I'm thinking that up in my head. So we're probably right in that 35, 40 plus range. So if they offer him that, then what are you going to have, like 19 to 20 left, you know, in cap space to sign everyone else? And we're talking Maxey, Melton, Korkmaz, and decide on Harris. So, you know, right there, I look at it like, well, then that's competitive money to offer, you know, Monk, that's 19. And then, you know, if you're next to Maxey, but you don't have Harris, Korkmaz or Melton, that changes things too. So my thought is maybe Orlando is probably the bigger contender in that situation, because it would be great to play next to the, you know, Wemby and the Spurs, but you're another year or two out at least before you're going to do any damage in the Western Conference. And I mean, I just can't imagine him going to Detroit so he can lose for, you know, the next 3 to 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
I look at my question, I guess, is going to be, do you guys think that the 3 to 5 million that we're looking at, you know, difference between some of these contracts is going to be a considerable difference for Monk, you know, when it comes to, do you want to win right now? Do you want to win and be in a healthy healthy place, you know, where your coach has faith in you and plays you, you get along and have good on-court and off-court relationships with your teammates,
sure,
and you want to win? Or do you want to go and try to develop something in San Antonio, or take a chance in Orlando? I'll let you leave you guys to it. Thanks for the call.
Thanks, Rob. I'll let you handle that. You're around Malik more than I am.
Yeah. Okay. So I think the first thing is that people need to understand that what Malik does, if he needs to do what's right for him and his family.
Sure.
Right. Because 100%. Malik is not a player who's made a ton of NBA money. He's made good money. Like this year, he's making almost $10 million a year. But in the NBA circles, that's not a lot of money. And so Malik is going to chase the almighty dollar. But then it's going to come down to, like, what are the situations? What team is coming at him? You have to remember he's from Arkansas. So, like, maybe it does make sense for him to go somewhere closer, like Orlando.
Sure.
You know, just to be closer to family and stuff. But I don't know. He knows he has a good situation. He knows that Mike Brown has faith in him. He knows he has a really, really cool niche in Sacramento that is probably perfect for him. He's playing alongside one of his best friends. So I think it's going to be a really difficult decision for him. And it really does depend on who comes after him. I mean, Orlando is one name, but I would also say Toronto is another. And then there's going to be other teams out there that we're not even looking at right now that come at him. I'll point out, he played in a bad situation early in his career, and he understands what a bad situation is.
Sure.
And so you'd hope that that would carry over. But if someone's offering you $25 million and the best the Kings can offer $17 million, that's a pretty big gap, especially when you consider, like, Florida, like, income tax and stuff.
Yeah.
So I don't know. It's really going to come down to, like, feel. And again, the Kings can, they're limited because of sort of their cap space, but also the early bird clause, right? And they can, if they sign him to an early bird, the least they can do is give him a 2-year deal, and then, or even a 4-year deal with a 2-year opt out. And then they could renegotiate and he would have full Larry Bird rights. So it's a little bit difficult to kind of, like, figure out whether or not that's enough. So is, I don't know, 35, 36 million over 2 years, maybe 37 million over 2 years enough. And with the promise that you'll try to get him a whole lot more money in 2 years, that might be the way that they approach this. But again, it's going to come down to Monk's personal feelings and just how much somebody offers. If someone offers him $30 million, he's gone.
Yeah.
Like, I don't.
Yeah. No one's going
to
blame him.
Be crazy not to.
Yeah.
But if someone offers him 22 or 21, you know, maybe you're in the ballpark.
Yeah.
And so that's where you're kind of wondering.
Yeah. And that's just going to be the question until the summer.
Well, yeah.
Unless he commits before then.
Yeah, exactly. And, well, I don't even think he can really commit before then. And then you have a team like Orlando. Like, look, Orlando can't just throw all of the money in the world at him because they have their own young players that are you know, going through the NBA system.
Yeah.
You're going to have to pay Franz Wagner. You're going to have to pay Paolo Banchero.
Yeah.
You're going to figure out what you're doing. Jalen Suggs. You have a bunch of residual money from other players.
Sure.
So, like, look, this is a little more complex than just, like, will he stay? Will he go?
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's not a firm leaning either way, I don't think.
Yeah, I think in a perfect world, he would love to stay in Sacramento the rest of his career.
Yeah.
Like he likes it here. He loves playing with Fox.
He's on a competitive team.
Yeah, it's a competitive team. He loves to golf. And this, you know, great
golf
weather
here.
All year round. And so, yeah, I think this is a spot that he would love to stick around. But, you know, NBA players should be allowed to do what is best for them and best for their family. And that hurts, but it is what it is.
No doubt. Yeah. Hey, you're on ESPN 1320. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Hi, hey, this is Sam. I'm calling from Rockland.
What's up, Sam? What do you want to say?
Well, a couple of days ago, you folks were talking about how Brown failed to make an adjustment during the game, which could have cost us the game because he wasn't quick enough or didn't make the adjustments. Now, that's not the first time he didn't do it. It's probably been 4 or 5 games throughout the year or more that they didn't make the adjustments. Now, how does that reflect on a genius like Jordy Fernandez and Doug Christie when they're not making the proper adjustments in fast enough or in a timely fashion, and then we lose the game?
Thanks, Sam. I think you might be talking about the screening De'Aaron Fox, or for De'Aaron Fox when he gets picked up full court.
Oh,
but I don't.
Maybe like either way, that's an adjustment the team has to make.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. I don't know.
I've personally not seen anything, and I could be wrong here. I've not seen anything that's really happened this year to me that's been egregious. Like, wow, that is a consistently bad coaching. Like, not every coach is going to be perfect game in and game out.
Yeah.
But I've not seen anything from the coaching staff this year where I'm like, wow, that is just, they need to, this is bad.
No, I totally agree. And I've sat here like many times and said, hey, look, I don't understand, you know, even the rotation stuff. People get all upset. I'm like, Man, there's a solid, there's a seven-man rotation and a potential eighth man, which is Davion again.
Mm-hmm.
Throughout the season, he's lost that spot, but he's mm-hmm. back in it. And then there's like a half of a player. Yeah. And you can't concern yourself with the ninth or the eighth and a half man. You can't. Like,
no.
It's going to be different players on different nights, and you've got to give Chris Duarte an opportunity. You've got to give, when Kessler Edwards comes in and plays unbelievable defense against Luka Doncic and goes 3 for 3 from three,
mm-hmm.
you got to give him a look the next time out.
No doubt.
You can't just say, hey, Sasha Vezenkov, who wasn't really in the rotation before, you're just right back in it because you're back after 2 months.
Right, and we need shooting.
Yeah, you can't just do that.
Right.
So, you know, again, I think Mike has done a really good job of managing. There were times where, like, again, I wouldn't have gone to JaVale McGee, but that's just because I just think Alex Len is a better fit for this team.
Well, and you're seeing that bear itself out over these last 4 weeks.
Yeah.
JaVale's just not in the rotation anymore.
Yeah.
They tried it, tried all these different combinations, doesn't work. Okay, punted that idea.
Yeah.
So,
but you have to try it.
Yeah.
You do. You have to try it. And especially with the fact that Malik Monk is the best pick and roll ball handler in the game. He is. Like, in the pick and roll, like, he averages, like, more points per possession in the pick and roll between him and the other guy, mm-hmm. the roller. And then JaVale McGee is one of the best pick and roll finishers in the game.
Yeah.
So it makes sense, but it just, there are a lot of other things that don't make sense to JaVale McGee on the court. And it's partially because he's 35, 36 years old, and it's partially because he just doesn't really fit what the Kings' offense is.
Yeah, no doubt.
It is what it is.
Yeah. Yeah, I can't, and I know that this is going to happen. Coaching mistakes happen, and people are going to talk about the coach regard. Like, go ask 10 Warriors fans what they think of Steve Kerr.
Yeah.
I promise you get half of them that are like, he should have been gone 3 years ago. Mm. Like, that's just kind of what it is. So I get if people have their frustrations, but for me, there's been nothing egregious where I'm like, man, the coaching staff needs to get this sorted out ASAP.
I would definitely say that, like, I was surprised that Jason Kidd had a really good game plan against the Kings and that they weren't able to break through that
mm-hmm.
quicker.
Mm-hmm.
But it is what it is. I mean, you hadn't seen that team with their new additions all year long. You really didn't know what they looked like until you got up against them.
Yeah.
And then you had two superstars get hot and go crazy.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of what they're built around.
Yeah.
And it worked. Hey, you're on ESPN 1320. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
How you doing, Mr. Matson and Mr. Ham? This is Javier from Vacaville. I just shout out to the Stockton Kings getting the first seed in the NBA G League in their conference. I was at the game on Friday, and you know, I feel like the overall emotional landslide that took place after Malik got fallen onto by, you know, Luka, the crybaby, Doncic. It just kind of took the wind out of the arena. I'm going to be there on Tuesday against, you know, the up-and-coming, but very, very, you know, explosive Clippers. My point and question rather I'm trying to make is, do you think, from what I've looked in their, you know, G League statistics, a guy like Stanley Johnson, Scalabissiere, or even a guy like Jalen Noel would possibly be brought up to add some, because I don't think from what we've talked about in previous weeks, they're going to go outside the organization at this point. But I just feel like them guys have played really well statistically. They had some length, some NBA actual, you know, I won't say a veteran presence, but they have league service. And I'm just wondering because of how thin they are, quote unquote, and that 9 to 14 man block. I mean, and they trying to get in the play in, you never know. Heaven forbid, knock on wood, Duarte, you know, Scalabissiere for, you know, a guy like Sasha gets hurt again, or just anything that may transpire. Do you see any of those three, because they have NBA experience, getting called up for that last 10 game stretch that we're currently in and or the playing our playoffs?
Cool.
Mr. Ham and Mr. Madsen.
Thanks, Hoff.
Yeah. Okay. So the problem is they don't have a roster spot.
Yeah, we talked about this a little bit on Saturday at the watch party.
Yeah. Yeah. So the only way that they could bring up somebody is to waive somebody. And I don't think they're going to waive somebody. You know, I think JaVale McGee has meant too much to like who they are behind the scenes. I think Kessler Edwards has played well over his last couple of games. And you still, at 23 years old, you're kind of intrigued by who he is, especially how hard he works. And then it's like, you're not going to cut Colby Jones. So, like, you don't have a roster spot to go sign anyone. And that's sort of the weird thing people don't understand. When a player like Monk gets hurt and Kevin Huerter gets hurt, you see some teams in the league that are able to go out and get, like, these injury, like, roster spots, right? That's that's not the case until you get to a certain point. They're called hardships, and you have to lose a certain amount of players for a certain amount of time in order to get those hardships. Mm-hmm. And the Kings have not reached that plateau. I mean, they've got two guys who are out at this point, and they had two guys that were out last week, and Sasha and Trey Lyles, who are now back. The fact that these two aren't going to play again, you don't just get an extra roster spot. So that's why you're not going to look at Scal. You're not going to look at... Scal's played phenomenally at the G League level. But even the other guy, Stanley Johnson, like, the only thing the Kings can do is they can use Jones. They can use Mason Jones a little bit more. But you have to remember, Mason Jones is running out of days as well. Mm-hmm. I think he's only got seven games left he can suit up.
Yeah.
And what do they have? 8 games left on the season. So he can suit up almost every game. But at the same time, he's a two-way player, and he cannot play in the playoffs.
Well, and the fact of the matter is, you're playing playoff games over the next 8.
Yeah.
This is, they to get a playoff spot, they need to go like 8-0 and get help. That's kind of where they're at. So you're probably going to see a shortened rotation anyway.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to see more minutes of Domantas Sabonis. You're going to see more De'Aaron Fox minutes. Trey Lyles, of course, being back is going to be huge, but you'll probably see Sasha put into the rotation. I don't think Mike Brown and the coaching staff are looking down the bench going, hey, you know what's going to help us get through these 8 games?
Stanley Johnson.
Right, yeah. Hey, no. We need to get Scal up here ASAP. Like, God bless him. Maybe Scal finds his way up onto the team next year. Maybe played well enough to earn a role next year. But this year, it's De'Aaron Fox, Domantas Sabonis, Keegan Murray, Harrison Barnes. It's going to be that group. And when you get into the playoffs, you're probably a 7-8-9-man rotation, and that's how it's going to have to work.
Yeah.
And I think that's probably what we'll see the rest of the way. I don't think there's going to be the replacing Kevin Huerter or replacing Malik Monk. We talked about this earlier. That's more Keegan Murray. That's more Harrison Barnes. It's certainly not, as much as I love Colby Jones, it's not, hey, let's get Colby Jones 20 minutes.
Yeah.
It's just not, I don't think that's conducive to winning.
No, I mean, there could be a point that you do find minutes for Colby Jones and he fits in and you're like, oh my gosh, like, sure, you have an epiphany moment, right, like you had with Keon Ellis.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, like, Chris Duarte is a much more seasoned basketball player,
mm-hmm,
and people can get frustrated with him, but he's really, really good at knocking down the wide open three. We saw it again last night. He'd gone through like the 3-game stretch where he couldn't hit a shot, but like, that's sort of your break in case of emergency guy at this point.
Yep. Yeah. So just to answer, they're not calling somebody up from Stockton.
Nope.
And I don't think that
they can't call someone up from Stockton. That's
right,
my point.
Right. Yeah. That's that. So that's not going to happen. And when it comes to Malik Monk being out, Kevin Huerter being out, there's not a solution to that that's not already on the roster, I think. So
you got
to
go with the cards you're dealt with, who you got.
Can we talk about the Jazz momentarily?
Okay.
Just for a brief second. What is that team? You know the phrase, I think they're doing what they did last year.
Yeah.
Because we talked to Sarah Todd before the season opener. And Sarah Todd, who writes for the Deseret News.
Yeah, Deseret News.
She said, well, the expectation this year is at least a play-in, maybe a playoff spot. They could have made that push last year, but they opted to sit guys, you know, guys get quote-unquote hurt, and they decided to try and tank, just to, let's be frank.
I mean, that's what they're doing right now.
And that's basically what they're doing again. And it makes sense. From a team-building standpoint, it makes sense. But also, the phrase is, the whole is greater than the sum of the parts.
Yeah.
I feel like the reverse for the Jazz.
Some of the parts are greater than the whole.
Yes. Because, like, Colin Sexton, nice player. John Collins. Some of these guys didn't play last night, but bear with me. John Collins, nice player. Lauri Markkanen, nice player. Walker Kessler, nice player. Keontae George, having a really good year. Apparently, what's our guy's name? apparently Bryce Sensabaugh.
Apparently,
a nice player.
Bryce Sensabaugh. Taylor Hendricks.
But I don't know what they're doing. Like, I don't know what Jordan Clarkson. They just feel like a bunch of.
Yeah.
They feel like a bunch of trade chips is what they feel like.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know what kind of team that is. The turnover at the end of the first half, where they just threw it to De'Aaron with like 11 seconds left and they were inbounding.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That's indicative of a team that's not.
Yeah, it's kind of who they are. And, you know, they had made a big run and got.
It's down to two.
Yeah, they had made a big run. And then all of a sudden, you know, we have their radio guy is over the top. Like, their radio guy is basically, like, way over the top, and he's right next to us, and, like, there are times in the past where he's, like, pointing at us and, like, all kinds of wild stuff while he's standing
huge fan.
While he's standing up and screaming. Yeah. Like,
what's his name? John?
John? No, it's not John. It's David Locke.
David.
Yeah. Yeah. He's a wild man.
Apparently.
And
he was on one last night during that run.
He was screaming during that run. It hadn't got to the point where he started, like, you know, like doing the sprinkler and like pointing at us and stuff like that, you know, hip thrust, that kind of stuff. But it was a little outlandish. Yeah, it always is. It always is. Yeah.
I don't know. I was watching the Jazz last night, and the Kings are up 4 or 5 at half. It's like, bro, you cannot. Losing to a bad team is one thing. Losing to whatever this group of players, it's NBA players for sure, but I don't know how it fits. I don't know what the plan is. I would love to sit down with Danny Ainge and be like, hey, what's this team look like in 3 years?
Well, it won't look like this.
Not at all.
Any of these guys. So what they did is, like, even the Kings came out, they scored a bucket early, and then the Jazz hit them with 2 threes back to back. The Kings turned the ball over twice, I think. And it was tied at 58.
Mm-hmm.
Mike Brown calls a timeout. They come out of a timeout, and Harrison Barnes happens. They just throttled them. Yeah. Just like, boom, game over.
Yeah.
Like, oh,
it's exactly
there
what they
you are.
Yeah.
There you are. Yeah. 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 Stuff.
I'll take it in the third quarter if you can't get it in the first half.
There you go.
I'd rather that than collapse in the second half and barely win.
Mm.
I'd rather barely win the first half and then steamroll the second half than vice versa.
Yeah.
Anyways. All right, we got to talk about the loss to the Mavs. We got to look around the NBA. There's
a bunch of bad things happening.
I think there's going to be a shift in what we need to be watching for the Kings. We'll talk about that as well, and we got some stuff to give away. We will do that next on ESPN 1320 Sacramento Sports Leader.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.